Welcome back to the show. Let's talk education. Education is a bit of a taboo subject for many, many people. Lots of people are former traders, salespeople, brokers and the likes, and they think, oh, this is a bit tricky. Let's become an educator. Now, it gives me great pleasure to introduce Corvin Cordilla. He is from www.fxmastercourse.com. His difference is he worked in a hedge fund. He was a hedge fund trader. Corvin, did you have a good track record?
Yes, 4-5 years of it, a sharp ratio of 2, 73% return over those 5 years.
That's outstanding.
Thank you.
Why did you go into education?
So I went out of the fund business, and the one thing about education is that you reach out to people and build a community. And it's one thing to sit in front of a screen in complete isolation. It's another one to talk to people who have ideas.
Yep.
And it's a phenomenal value cycle. You give, but you receive much more in return in terms of a network of people who are tremendously passionate about the markets.
Enjoying it?
Very much.
Okay, well, we've got some slides. What's the specialized subject today? The Great British Pound and trading fundamentals.
Well, a lot of people ask, how do you trade fundamentals? So if we go to the next slide, the purpose really of this presentation is to say, it's not just about having some hand-wavy model in your head, waking up in the morning and getting out of bed and saying, well, I feel somehow that gold's going to go up. There are actually numbers that come out that have an impact upon the market. Now, the one thing that I keep on teaching is that every asset class is affected by people who look for yield, mean reversion, and value trading. You know, people buy cheap houses to sell them more expensive. But there are also, at least in the FX space, which is a pure macro play, important fundamental numbers that come out that people have to follow to be able to implement the right trading strategies.
Okay, so let's go on to the next. Forex is about the flow of cash between countries.
And that's all that there is to it. I mean, ultimately, it's about people wanting to exchange goods at a particular price. And it's this flow of cash that ultimately determines the price of cash, which is nothing more than the FX rate is. So as an example, if you look at the US dollar, on the next slide, you can see that it flows all over the place. So what this slide shows you are all the countries with the various trade flows between the United States and themselves. And you can just see how global the flow of cash is. Yes, it's one thing to say that there's 4 trillion traded a day in the interbank market. But remember, that's just one customer trading with a dealer who then amplifies that flow with all the other dealers as he hedges it out. What we're looking at here is real flow of cash, real people pulling money out of their pocket. And that's ultimately what drives the price of that cash, which is the FX rate. So understanding the things that drive it will give you a much better picture. The problem is, as I said, a lot of people think that it's just some sort of hazy hand-wavy model. You know, you argue about unemployment rates and you look at inflation and somehow you combine this in your head to come out with a result. And so the purpose today is to show you that looking at the numbers themselves, you can determine the strategy. So if you go to the next slide, most importantly, what are fundamentals? So if you come at it from a macroeconomic point of view, the subject itself, it really reduces down to what are the price of goods across countries, the output of the country, also known as the GDP, domestic and foreign consumption, as well as investment flows, which finances people's ambitions, and interest rates, which are the underlying drivers for different consumptions. Now, in usual parlance, this is just nothing more than inflation, production, consumption, central bank rates, and investment flows. And guess what? For all of these, we have observable numbers that come out on a regular basis. So the problem is, as I said before, you need models. And as you've seen over the last 100 years or so, everybody comes up with their own specific model, especially for exchange rates. You have the Mundell-Fleming model that looks at a particular assumption about exchange rates. You've got the monetary model that looks at another particular assumption about exchange rates. And all of them actually come up with different conclusions. And the model you choose ultimately depends in terms of how important you think different components of the system are. People looking more in terms of cash. Is cash what's relevant, or is goods production what's relevant, et cetera, et cetera? Well, how can you make assumptions about how sticky prices are across countries? If you go back to the previous slide, regardless of what model you choose, the statement I'm going to make today is increased output in your own country leads to an appreciation of the domestic currency. So that's one output that comes out of the monetary model for exchange rates. It's actually opposite from the Mundell-Fleming model, which was very popular in the 60s during the Keynesian times. But let's make this assumption. Where it comes from this moment in time, it's not relevant. But
so increased output for somebody looking at this first time is higher production in cars, higher production of cranes.
Increased GDP.
So increased GDP. So physically, things that your country is producing.
Exactly.
Okay.
So if you go to the next slide, the problem with increased GDP or output we're trying to measure is that it comes out not very regularly. Once every 3 months, there's estimates and approximations.
And there's always revisions.
Revisions as well. So it's a very crummy number to follow. So is there anything else that you could follow? Well, there are. There are proxies. And a very good proxy actually turns out to be the PMI number, which is nothing more than a survey conducted by businesses by the government or by private institutions to figure out how they perceive the future. And it's forward-looking, and it actually looks at those people who are involved in the production cycle. So it'll give you a very good gauge in terms of how GDP will turn out. So just looking at the PMI numbers, therefore, using them as a proxy, we can come up with a very simple system. If we go to the next slide, the system is very simple. If this month's PMI
is up, you buy the Great British Pounds.
Yes. If it's down, you sell it.
So we had a stinking number 10 days ago.
And that is very interesting because we're going to address that right towards the end of this lecture.
So what's the result?
So this is the result, how you traded over the last 9 years. And yes, right over there at the very end, you see the stinking result. The PMI number for June actually was up. The election came on the 23rd.
Yep.
And obviously, it crashed by 10%. So let's use a bit of Harry hindsight here. Let's go to the next slide. And the main key point here is that when you trade into a big event, it's a big gamble, regardless of what any number or anybody tells you.
So that's
you
just a key
don't
thing. If
know
you
what's
position ahead of a set of numbers, you're gambling.
Exactly.
Right.
Because you just can't predict it. And let's remember, almost everybody who was in London more or less predicted that Brexit wouldn't happen, that UK would stay in.
Yep.
And as the newspapers came out on Friday, they reported that even George Soros himself had been long Sterling because he couldn't conceive of the fact that England would exit the European Union. So this is very much a gamble. It's not about what you can measure, it's just the outcome on the day. So do you want to trade during these periods? And the answer obviously is no. So let's, and interestingly enough, if you looked at Sterling during June until right up to the election, it actually did go up, no, because it spiked right before the election, around about 150.
Yep.
So it was up on the month. It was just that shock event that more or less sent Sterling collapsing by 400 points in 5 minutes. You can't anticipate, stay out. So let's use a bit of Harry hindsight and let's look at what would have happened if we hadn't traded that event. You wouldn't have had much of an impact on your performance. Now, let's summarize what we see. So the red line is the actual value of Sterling. The blue line is the system itself. And as I say, one way of measuring performance is by looking at Sharpe ratio, which in essence says how many dollars do you get back for every dollar that you trade. A Sharpe ratio of 0.5 is very good. Look at the S&P, which in the long term has had a Sharpe ratio of 0.5, and everybody tells you to buy equities.
Okay. So the next education segment, can we cover Sharpe ratios, please?
No problem. But ultimately, what I'm saying to you is, here's a system where you look at a fundamental number that's a proxy for output. You've made an assumption from your economic thinking that output means appreciation of currency, and now you've gone and looked at the data and formulated a very straightforward system. It's not like you've had some complicated model in your head and you've done macro for 10,000 years and all of a sudden you wake up one day and you have an insight. I'm always really of the opinion that formulating crystal clear rules that can be replicated is ultimately what leads to trading success. And people will say maybe 0.5 isn't fantastic, and yes, it has gone sideways for the last couple of years, but remember, this is one currency, one number. I urge people to go out and try this strategy with all the other currencies they have access to and look at the performance in aggregate, and yes, I think they'll be very pleasantly surprised.
Understood. Okay, so let's move on to the next slide.
So in terms of data strategies, also updates and also data with regards to the strategy I presented, if you want more, come to my website and sign up and become part of this community where people do share ideas, communicate, etc.
Well, to reiterate, this man used to run money. He used to be a hedge fund trader. If I was going to be educated or even re-educated, this is the man I guess I would go to. Is this reassuringly expensive to get involved?
Signing up to the newsletter is free.
That's the Tip TV tip of the day. A free newsletter from a former hedge fund manager. Corvin, we run out of time. Thank you, as always. Let's cover Sharpe ratios next time. I've got a load of questions to ask you.
No problem. Let's do
that. Right, let's take a very quick break, and then we'll be straight back. Thank you.